sex life is none of anyone's business.
And Andy is the manager, not Nelly.
Stop protecting me. I'm a man. I can protect myself. This is misdirected anger, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to lash out at you. There's a lot coming up right now, all at once. Dad, go to hell. I'm taller than you.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do. We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're on iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Smash the subscribe button. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. And of course, this episode is brought to you by Overlay DFS. If you've been listening, I don't need to go over the whole spiel with you. Overlay DFS is the new revolutionary head-to-head fantasy matchup daily fantasy game that will allow you to win without competing against the sharps that are submitting hundreds of lineups on DraftKings and FanDuel. All you have to do, go on, sign up, enter a lineup. Let's say you enter the $22 contest. All you need to do is finish in the top 10% to win 9 times your money. So a $22 investment will win you $180. All you have to do, top 10%. Sometimes the records that are needed to win are as low as 9-3, 8-4, sometimes get you the win. I've been playing weekly. It's great. It's fun. Go ahead and sign up. Check them out. I promise you won't be disappointed. All right. Let's get into it. Weiss, we usually do a little chit-chat before the show. Hey, send me a rundown. You started to send me the rundown. You gave up after bullet point number 2. I've had a couple beers. The rumors, they are a-flying about the New York Giants. Another brutal loss to the Bears. I guess we could start with the Bears game and touch on it real quick. I mean, an expected loss. Players looking unprepared, out of position. Mitch Trubisky, I mean, I've been saying it for the last week, the New York Giants defense, you know, not to be crude, but they are a slump buster. And if you're, I'm sure females, you guys use the same term as guys use, but the New York Giants defense, when you're in a slump and you got to get right, who do you hit up at 2 a.m. after a few beers? You hit up the New York Giants defense. And you, even when you're as short and ugly and bad in bed as Mitchell Trubisky, you still manage to get the victory because that's just how bad this Giants defense is. Pepper's injured. Baker getting benched for no reason despite having probably his best game as a pro, which, again, not saying much. Ballantyne looking lost. Leonard Williams, again, ineffective, playing 61% of the snaps in an 8-game tryout, which makes no fucking sense. And, of course, you still have problems with the offensive line. You have Khalil Mack running over 3 players simultaneously. Saquon Barkley being both ineffective in his own right as well as being misutilized by Pat Shurmur for the billionth week in a row. This team sucks. Just end the season. Please lose out. Fire everyone. Weiss, go right ahead.
You've nailed it, man. You've explained exactly what the Giants are right now. Mitchell Trubisky threw for like 280 yards, but he could have thrown for like 350 if it wasn't for like a couple of penalties. Like the score was 19-14 thanks to a late touchdown by Daniel Jones on a fourth down play. But that could have been easily 26-7, 27-7. I mean, the Giants, they're fucking horrible, man. They're disgusting. They are despicable. I mean, it's not even like, you know, like you get excited, your Sunday, your team is playing. It's not even you're like depressed when you know it's like Sunday. Like they're about to play and you're like, oh shit, man, Giants are playing today. It's just depressing to watch. They're not fun. They don't do anything exciting. They don't give you hope. And it's just like, they're just like there, and they're, you know, being a fan is just the worst thing in the world. And I hate everything about it. And like you said, man, you have to at some point, okay, because they're now 2-9 for the second time in the last 3 years, which is bad. You know, it's really bad because if you look back, I looked this up. I'll let everyone else look it up. When was the last time a team was 2-9 through their 11 games two times in 3 years? You guys can go look that up. Or worse, 2-9 or worse twice in 3 years. On top of that, they have the worst record in the NFL since the start of 2017. And that includes the season where the Browns went 0-16. Their head coach he's a dead man walking at this point. Everyone knows. I mean, anything he says doesn't matter. Everything he says is just, you know, at this point, it's just laughable. Getting better behind the scenes. I mean, give me a break. What are they playing? Other games that we don't know? We see what's going on. They're not good. They have no talent. And at some point, John Mara has to sit at his desk and say, okay, what is happening? Because you look around the league and you're seeing what's happening in Baltimore and you're seeing what's happening with teams like the Cowboys who are contending, who have sort of built up all this talent. And you look at just teams that are right now contending for a Super Bowl, and you wonder, what are they doing right that I'm doing wrong? And the Giants have to figure that out. And if it's the way the football operations are run, that's the problem, then you have to make changes. And it's not just fire the head coach or just fire the GM and the head coach. It's you have to reevaluate how your football operations are being run right now. And the Giants, they are a mess, man. They are the worst, I mean, team in the NFL. I mean, I know the Bengals are there, but to me, the Giants and the Bengals, you know, we can debate who's the worst, you can make a case for the Giants, in my opinion. They're terrible.
Yeah, I mean, when you take into account the Giants have individual talent that the Bengals can't even dream of right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not even playing Andy Dalton. AJ Green hasn't played a snap all year. And the Giants have Dan Jones playing, 6th overall pick. They've got Saquon. They've got overpaid offensive linemen. They've got overpaid defenders. It's a mess. You know, we harp on it all the time. The organization's a mess. I mean, you can only beat a dead horse so much. I mean, we can get into the Jason Garrett rumors because I think it's very indicative of everything that's wrong with the Giants. We have 5 weeks left in the NFL season. And historically, what we've always discussed is when you talk about the Giants and how they've maneuvered the draft the last 7 or 8 years and how they've handled their coaching searches and their executive searches, what happens? Something leaks out to the press, to the media, and it almost always turns out to be true because they gossip more than a high school girl. They're talking to everyone. Somehow this news always leaks out. And you know what? A lot of the time it makes sense. Historically, what have we seen? They're a very ancestral organization. Jason Garrett, back in the day, Giants quarterback. Links to the organization, early media leak, on the hot seat for a division rival. I mean, would anyone be shocked if he was hired as the head coach? And by the way, a dismal performance by Jason Garrett coaching-wise in New England this past week. We can touch on that. But then, who is the other head coaching candidate that's mentioned? By the way, while Pat Shurmur is still the head coach, and you know that these leaks are probably coming from someone connected to the organization, so talk about while the body is still warm. The body is literally still alive. You're already talking about replacing him. Matt Rhule, another person with connection to the New York Giants. And obviously, opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to Rhule and Garrett. We're going to talk about Matt Rhule a little bit later because I think we're both starting to really come around to him and like him a lot, and we'll tell you why. Organizational leaks, two guys connected to the New York Giants. You can put the pieces together on your own.
Yeah, and I just realized earlier I said you look at teams like Baltimore, and I said Dallas. I didn't mean Dallas. I'm sorry. They're on my TV screen. I meant San Francisco. So my bad.
Why are they on your TV screen?
I was just they're talking about firing Jason Garrett.
Oh, okay. I was going to make an all 22 joke, but you beat me. Okay.
Well, yeah, they're talking about firing Jason Garrett. But I mean, you've really just another good point. I mean, I think The Jason Garrett rumor makes no sense. And I know people say...
It makes no sense, but it makes all the sense. It makes it doesn't make sense as the right thing to do. It makes sense as to why it's being discussed. That's the problem.
Right. From a perspective of using logic and watching the Dallas Cowboys for the past 10 years and seeing what their weakness has been, hiring Jason Garrett after he's probably going to get fired from Dallas or is in the final year of his deal with Dallas makes no sense. But from looking at the lens that the Giants look at things, it makes perfect sense. Previous ties to the organization, someone that is still, you know, thinks football is played a certain way, is not as advanced as he should be.
And not only that, the biggest thing is if Jason Garrett is to get hired by the New York Giants, his asshole will still be agape from Jerry Jones's hand being up there for so fucking long that John Mara can slide right in no problem and just tell him what to do every step of the way. And that was the biggest problem with Matt Rhule to the New York Jets, is that he wanted player personnel decisions and control, and they said no.
Yeah. Jason Garrett will be just another yes man, which has been a big requirement when it comes to hiring people in the Giants organization. Yes. You have to be a yes man, and that makes perfect sense why Jason Garrett would be a candidate. Matt Rhule, I think, like you said, is on the opposite side of this thing. I think, you know, I spent the day looking up a lot of Matt Rhule's background. I obviously knew about, you know, the Baylor and Temple and being with the Giants in 2012 and New York native. I got filled in about all that from you earlier today, but obviously he is somebody that is more intriguing, and I think you could sell to the fan base better than Jason Garrett. But one thing is for sure, in my opinion, is, you know, regardless what I mean, if they went out the rest of the way, which they're not going to, you could sell that. But anything worse than 5-11, I don't see how you can sell Pat Shurmur to this fan base again.
You can't. And I think he's a dead man walking already.
He is.
And listen, the key sign to me was the Ian Rappaport leak about the quote-unquote interest in Jason Garrett. But what we agree on, what I think a lot of people who listen to the podcast can agree on, is that none of this matters if Dave Gettleman is still the GM.
Yeah.
I screamed about this last week. You cannot have a lame duck general manager bring in a new coach who's going to bring in his own coaching staff, who's, you're going into year three of Saquon, you're going to go into year two of Dan Jones, and what happens if the team fucking flops again and the big free agency signings that Dave Gettleman brings in, he overpays Leonard Williams, he's going to overpay some offensive linemen, some mediocre defenders, he's going to go into the draft, which he's already given up assets for, and he's going to bring in some more guys, and the guys that he drafted in year one and year two don't progress to the extent that we hope them to, and all of a sudden John Mara needs to, quote-unquote, again, retire Dave Gettleman, because I don't think he has the balls to fire Dave Gettleman, because for whatever reason Dave Gettleman deserves that respect. He's going to retire Dave Gettleman, and then the new GM that comes in year four of Saquon and year three of Dan Jones is going to say, you know what? I don't like any of these guys. I don't like the coaching staff. I want my guys, and they're going to start fresh in 2 years. Clean house completely. Yeah. If you're going to bring in a new head coach, bring in a new GM. Give the head coach the player personnel control that he wants, because you know what? Whatever the fuck you're doing right now isn't working. Change it up.
It's not working at all. And it goes back to what I said earlier. I think I put this out earlier. If you are in their third year already putting a general manager and a head coach on a hot seat, because remember the whole win or else ultimatum that came to Jerry Reese was like in his 11th year with the organization. You know, Dave Gettleman's been here for 3 years. And if you're already giving him an ultimatum, he's been here for 2 years going into his third year. But if you're already giving him that win or else ultimatum, you should probably, you know, fire him after the second year. Right. But I agree. I mean, it's not even about whether or not, you know, you hire a new coach, then you fire Dave Gettleman a year later because, again, the talent's still not there. The draft picks are still not progressing. A new GM comes in, you're talking about, you don't know what his philosophy is going to be. Is it going to work with the new head coach? You don't know if the coach's philosophy fits with the new GM's philosophy. It just doesn't work that way. I think you have to have a GM and a head coach that are on the same page when it comes to their approach to the game, to how, what kind of players they want, what kind of coaches they want. And right now, I mean, I think that firing Pat Shurmur is, to me, it's taking an approach that you're just again pushing the problem, kicking the can down the road, and missing the big picture. And I think with the Giants, it's an organizational problem. You don't be as bad as they are by just missing out on coaches. No,
right.
This is their overall philosophy. It's not working, and they have to reevaluate it from the top down. And listen, I've played this out in my head. John Mara's got to sit there and say, what am I doing wrong? What's not working? Okay, let's start with my front office. Who do I have in charge? Who are the ones that are helping picking players? Who's the one that are out there, you know, working with these scouts? How is this football operations being done? And, you know, there's a name that everyone likes to bring up nowadays, and Chris Mara. And I don't know if people know this, but Chris Mara is also in the ownership group. He is a part owner of the Giants. He's not just John Mara's brother. He actually has part ownership. I don't know how it works, but maybe you tell Chris Mara, hey, Chris, let's just focus on you being the owner of the team or part owner of the team. Let's put you there. And you say, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to hire me a team president, a guy that's going to run my football operations. I'll throw a name at you right now just for the sake of argument. I'll go to Ozzie Newsome. I'll say, Ozzie, you had a great run in Baltimore. And I know you're like retired and you're still coming into the Ravens organization to have a cup of coffee here and there. But why don't you come run my football operations? Ozzie Newsome has the resume that Dave Gettleman thinks he has. Ozzie Newsome has that. You bring him in. You let him run your football operations. You let him build your front office. He let him hire a GM who then will hire a coach. You do it that way. To me, that's cleaning house. To me, that's rebuilding your organization. Not this approach where we're going to hire the two faces of the problem, which is Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur, and we're going to keep all the scouts, and we're going to keep the guy, people behind the scenes, and we're going to go and we're just going to hire a new GM or promote from within and hire a guy that has ties to the organization. I'm all for, you know, guys that have ties to the Giants or once upon a time did, but it has to make sense. And Jason Garrett doesn't make sense. Certainly Kevin Abrams getting promoted doesn't make any sense. And again, you have to reevaluate the football operations of this organization, because right now they're going nowhere. They have no talent. I mean, the core players, who are the core players? The jury is still on the rookie quarterback. You hope that he's the guy. Saquon Barkley is, I mean, the only way you can describe it is he's not himself right now. But where are those core players? Where are the cornerstone players on this defense? They don't have that. They are as close to an expansion team as I think I've seen in a long time. Just there's so much lack of talent there, and you have to reevaluate everything if you're John Mara. And as long as he keeps going with this, it's going to be the same thing. You might throw a playoff season in there in 2 years, every 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, but the problems will still consist over the long period of time.
Yeah, no, agree. Fish rots from the head down, beating a dead horse by this point. You know, we're talking about, you know, who to bring in to fix this mess. I think you're right. You need like someone above the GM, someone that the GM reports to, a team president. Yeah. You need someone beneath John Mara, but that John Mara is not controlling. That I'm bringing, like, you know, wishful thinking. And speaking of guys who have connections to the New York Giants, I've actually recently come to the realization that so, all right, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Personally, I do not hate the Patriots. I actually like the Patriots. I have no ill will towards the Patriots. The Giants beat the Patriots in 2 Super Bowls. Bill Belichick was the defensive coordinator for Giants Super Bowls teams. I respect how smart Bill Belichick is. And at the end of the day, I'm envious that he is not running my football organization. I have no ill will towards the Patriots.
I think 31 other fan bases are thinking the same as you.
This is not a controversial take.
Yeah.
However, I've come to the realization that I need to start despising Tom Brady, because I think Tom Brady is the only reason Bill Belichick is still coaching the Patriots and is not that VP for the New York Giants. Because you know that Bill Belichick loves the Giants, loved his time with the Giants. Whenever they interview him about him coaching those Super Bowl teams, he chokes up, he tears up. I think that there would be no better retirement. I'll say a retirement job, which is like an oxymoron in a sense, but you guys know what I'm talking about, where he and Tom Brady ride off into the sunset. They won a billion rings. And Bill Belichick, quote unquote, again, I've said this like a million times, comes home to the New York Giants and runs those operations and brings his son over as a coach in some capacity. How about that?
Do you think that Bill Belichick has the same love for the Giants now as he did back then?
Yes.
Or when Wellington was alive?
Yes.
That's interesting. I don't know if he
does. There's interviews. There's ESPN 30 for 30s, Bill and Bill, where they sat down and they were talking about the time with the Giants. And he's like in the film room. He's tearing up. He's like, I loved it here. And this is like recent stuff, you know? I mean,
the 30 for 30.
First of all, let me say this. This is Looney Tunes. This is fairy tale world where it's not going to happen. It's something that I would love to happen. I'm not saying that this is a possibility.
Right. What I think is, I don't know if Bill loves John Mara's Giants like he did Wellington Mara's Giants. Well, I think Bill will tell you
Wellington Mara's Giants for a longer period of time were way worse than John Mara's Giants.
Absolutely. But what I'm saying is, I don't know if that love is the same right now for the way the organization is run.
You just said 31 other fan bases would want Bill Belichick. I cannot think of one other person in football that commands that level of respect that would come in and put John Mara in his place and say, you want to get back to your winning ways? Hand me the keys and step out of the way. And I think John Mara would listen.
It's funny you bring this up, because I was having a conversation earlier on Sunday, actually, with one of my buddies who's a Redskins fan. And I asked him, I said, would you, if you were Daniel Snyder, and I think it's easier for him to answer because he's not Daniel Snyder, but if you were an NFL owner, would you tell Bill Belichick, hey, Bill, I will give you, not when I part ownership, but not 50% or 30%, but I'll give you like part ownership of this team if you come run my football operations? And he was like, hell yeah. So again, to get Bill Belichick, I think it would be like, hey, Bill, like, I'll give you, you could be a minority owner.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, come run my team. And I think that's what would lure Bill away from the Patriots. But again, it's a pipe dream. But it goes back to the main point. The Giants' way of running their football operations is not working right now. Whatever type of chain of command that they have, whatever structure they have, is just simply not working. And you're seeing it with the results, 10-33 since the start of 2017. You know, just the overall approach to how team building is, it just doesn't work, man. And you have to reevaluate. And until they don't make major changes, I mean, there really isn't nothing to get excited about with this team.
Yeah. Who is your ideal GM candidate if Dave Gettleman were to retire?
It would have been Joe Douglas. I really liked him. Mm-hmm. Well, I really liked what the Jets did, getting him from Philly. I don't know. I mean, obviously the one name that everyone is the hot commodity right now is Nick Caserio, but he's probably already.
A different one. Ed Dodds.
Who?
Ed Dodds, that? Assistant GM in Indy, was a big part of building Seattle Super Bowl contenders. He's Ballard's like number two over there in Indy. And I was reading up on him today on the Colts, SB Nation. And there is a quote, I can't tell who it's from, but it says, if you ask 10 front office people around the league who the best scout in the NFL is, chances are you're going to hear Ed Dodds' name the most. He's the current assistant general manager with the Indianapolis Colts. No one in the league is more widely acknowledged as the top scout, which is why Ballard poached Dodds from Seattle and gave him a right-hand seat to his throne in Indianapolis. Those are two stellar teams to have on your resume. Funny that we're using that when we're talking about replacing Dave Gettleman.
Yeah.
But Ed Dodds, again, he's not widely known. Could be like, again, he doesn't have ties to the organization, so it probably won't happen. But Ed Dodds is, listen, we laugh, but it's so sad.
It's true.
It's true.
It is a prerequisite to get hired by the Giants.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, I love Ed Dodds. Big would be more than okay if he came over to the Giants. And then
I could see a situation where this dude Dodds and Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator, are like tied together and they get a job somewhere together. Yeah. Like I could see that somewhere happening.
Do you want to talk about Matt Rhule? Because we sort of shit on Jason Garrett, and rightfully so. Matt Rhule, the things to know about Matt Rhule. He turned Temple around. He went over there. Well, I guess I'll backtrack a little bit. He's a Northeasterner. He's a New Yorker. His father was a football coach and a pastor, actually. I found that interesting. But he turned the Temple football program around. He went to Baylor after the Art Briles sexual assault scandal, which basically fucking destroyed the program over there, turned it around. They're now 10-1. They're a very, very good football team right now. And the thing that stuck out to me, and I'm sure it stuck out to you because we were both reading up on him today, was the fact that he is a people person. The first thing that he did when he went down to Texas, right? Texas is like another fucking country. For those who've been to Texas, I'm sure we have some listeners that are in Texas. Texas is a different world. It is enormous. They're not fans of Northerners, that's for sure. You drive along the highway and you see like an acre lot filled with pickup trucks and farms. And, you know, obviously there are the more liberal centers like Austin and Dallas to a certain extent. But Texas is different.
They put barbecue sauce on everything.
Everything. And everything's bigger in Texas. And yes. Matt Rhule, from New York, coaching in Philadelphia, going down to Texas.
With his New York accent.
With his New York accent. And what was the first thing that Matt Rhule did when he was put in charge of turning around the Baylor football team, whose coach, administrator, school president were basically kicked out because they covered up sexual assault scandals with the football team and had every single prospect commit go elsewhere except for one. I forget the prospect's name. But they lost every single commit. Matt Rhule basically took a tour of every single Texas high school football program. Because if you're a college coach, Texas is like the breeding ground for college football. And not only did he go around scouting these players individually, meeting with these players individually, he hired three of the top high school football coaches to be on his staff, help him get acclimated, help him do the recruiting, and basically, hey, you guys know this landscape better than I do. Come in here, help me build something great, because that's what we're going to do. That's what I did in Philadelphia, and he's done it in Texas. You look at this organization, the New York Giants, and you see arrogance. Dave Gettleman boasting resumes that don't exist. Ben McAdoo, his way or the highway. Pat Shurmur in his press conferences basically like scoffing at reporters asking questions that are common sense answers. And then the breath of fresh air, Matt Rhule, who knows what he's good at, who knows what he's not good at, knows how to scout, can relate to the younger generation of players that the Giants have been unable to relate to for years, who is not afraid to incorporate other people's ideas and schemes into his own coaching. And the cherry on top is that he has ties to the Giants organization. Now, yes, exactly. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know for a fact that he's the answer or that he is my number one coaching candidate by far. What I will say is that if he is given the head coaching job, I will be confident in his ability. I will give him more than enough time to build up his program. And you know what? The Giants could do way worse, as we've seen with them being linked to Jason Garrett. So if you haven't read up on Matt Rhule yet, read up on him. If you can't find anything good, DM me or Weiss. I'll be happy to send you everything that I've read on him. It was refreshing, a guy who was being thrown into an unfamiliar situation, being able to adapt and being able to take those around him who were better at certain things than him and learn from them and incorporate that into his own teachings. That was nice to read, and I think it would be a very nice lift to the Giants organization.
Yeah, you could also – there's an article written about him where Chris Knee and Kevin Booth speak very highly of him.
Okay. There you go. I see. I didn't read that one today.
Yeah, they do. He's a very smart guy. I mean, again, the player connection is huge because, there are articles written about him, how some of his former players invited him to the NFL draft when they were getting drafted and spoke so highly. I don't know, it's common for college coaches to go, but they wanted him here. They wanted him a part of that important moment. So, yeah, I mean, I think Matt Rhule makes a lot of sense, but I think this all essentially goes back to whether or not the Giants will admit they're wrong with this regime. Will they make that change? Again, this is an organization that doesn't like to make changes. They don't like to do that, but they're essentially forced into it. And I think that if you are the Giants right now and you fire Pat Shurmur and you're in the market for another head coach, Matt Rhule is definitely a guy you want to talk to, definitely a guy that you should have high on your list, along with many others. But one thing is for sure, Jason Garrett is not the answer here. Absolutely. He's not the answer.
No. Some other obvious candidates that you and I have spoken about over the last few days, Greg Roman. I mean, that's a no-brainer. I know it would pain you to see him and Lamar Jackson separated, but obvious connection. Rob Saleh is going to be obviously another big name that's talked about a lot. If you're a fan of defense, he's going to – I mean – He's the number one, I would say, of all the.
Talk about breath of fresh air. That dude's a breath of fresh air.
Oh yeah, very not Giants like if you watch him on the sidelines, and then of course it would not be an off season if the Patriots offensive and defensive coordinators were not mentioned in the head coaching discussions. I think that McDaniels is tied to the hip with Brady and Belichick, so that I don't see that happening.
I think it would have to be an opening where it's franchise quarterback is there, organization's ready to compete. Josh McDaniels would go there. I mean, I don't see any scenario where they'll say, "Hey, Josh, you're when it comes to player personnel, you're going to have a big say in it. It's your show, you know." And I don't think the Giants are going to do that. But I think, again, ultimately it goes back to whether or not the Giants will make that move. But I think the question is this. We talk about the Jets game. That's a huge game. You cannot lose that game if you're Pat Shurmur. Lost that one. I think the next one is if Miami comes to New York and wins, the Redskins game won't matter, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. If you lose to the Dolphins at home, I don't see how Pat Shurmur finishes the season. Because you look at their remaining schedule, right? They got Green Bay this weekend. They're not going to beat Green Bay. Nope. Then they go Monday night at Philly. Even when they were good, they couldn't win in Philly. Then I think you go I think it's a stretch of Miami and the Redskins. So
finishing with the Eagles.
Yeah. So the remaining is Green Bay, loss, at Philly, loss. Miami, Washington, and Philly.
You got to pray that they lose to Miami.
To me, if they lose to Miami,
I'm talking for draft position.
I don't know what's going to happen with Dave Gettleman, but Pat Shurmur, I think if you lose that game to Miami, I think the rest of the season won't matter, because 3-13 is not. I mean, to me, that's you cannot bring this dude back.
No,
I mean 3-13, he's gone. I think. It pains me to say this, but I think that if they beat Washington and Miami and finish 4-12, given that they lose the rest of their games, I think John Mara will try to sell the youth and try to sell the quarterback development. But losing to Miami or at Washington, but mainly that Miami game at home, if you lose that, I don't know how he finishes the season.
I think you got to hope for that as a Giants fan, both for for Dave Gettleman and Pat Shurmur's hot seat as well as draft position. But yeah,
there's a very good chance they lose the rest of their games.
I think there's a very good chance they lose. Yeah, I don't think I don't think they win two the rest of the way. I think they win one of Miami or Washington. I don't see a world where they beat both of those teams. I just don't see it.
And at Philly versus Philly, I don't see that. That's not happening.
Both Philly games and Green Bay game, and then you know, it's going to be a toss up, honestly. You know, here's the thing, and this would be the most Giants fuck up of all time. I can see a world where, I mean, Miami is willfully tanking. Like, they are not making it a secret. They want as many draft picks and as
they've traded all the picks. Players.
Yes.
Yeah,
that they would just throw the game against the Giants to get the second overall pick.
Yeah.
Because right now, the Giants are second. Giants are picking second overall as it stands today. So that game's going to be
I think with them, they would know is that we're not worried about two, because we know Cincinnati is going to be one. If two is the Giants, then they know if we can get to three, we'll be in position to grab a quarterback.
Yeah, that's fair. Speaking of which, let's talk draft. I had a take that you took issue with yesterday, and I want to clarify and expand on that take. So I basically said that I was pro trading back because the Giants, I mean, listen, they should have traded back in 2018. They didn't because the GM just grossly misevaluated the roster. That was their prime opportunity to trade back. Last year, they took Dan Jones. This year, here's the problem. I would love for them to have the opportunity to trade back. I think if presented that opportunity where the haul was good enough, that is absolutely the right move, because I think you could still get a franchise left tackle, a franchise pass rusher, and then another day one starter. The problem is I did my research today and I looked at who's got what pick, who's got what needs, and there's really only one scenario in which a trade back is possible and likely. And the Giants are just not smart enough to even come close to executing it. So I'm going to throw this scenario out the window. But the scenario is, if they were to have an executive smart enough to do so, the only team, really there's two, but I think the one that you could negotiate the best with, the Chargers. I think this is Philip Rivers' last year. They need a quarterback. They're going to be picking around 9, 10, 11. And assuming the Giants lose out and are picking number two, they will be ahead of the Miami Dolphins. Now listen to this. Because the people that took issue with my trade back thought that, again, because Twitter is just so fucking stupid, thought that it was an indictment on Chase Young and that I hated Chase Young and Chase Young's terrible. No, Chase Young is fucking unbelievable. I would love Chase Young on my team. He is like a cornerstone defensive player, one that the Giants have not had. He is, if we're talking like New York Giants pass rushers, they haven't had someone of his potential since, drafted someone of his potential since JPP, and he's far more refined than JPP was coming out of college. He's very good, okay? The problem,
as you say this, by the way, Lawrence Taylor is on my screen.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Go ahead. It's destiny, man. It's destiny. You.
So here's the thing. The New York Giants' optimal scenario is a Mitchell Trubisky scenario where the Bengals probably take a quarterback, the Giants draft, and then the Dolphins draft. The Giants need to stoke the fucking trade rumors and talk to the Buccaneers and talk to the Chargers, who, if the Buccaneers move on from Jameis next year and the Chargers are almost certainly moving on from Rivers next year, don't have that franchise guy, you need to say, hey, let's swap. I'm talking about the Chargers. Let's swap picks. You give me your second this year. I don't know. A second next year. Maybe a first next year. I don't know how hot the quarterback trade rumors are going to be. But you essentially get those rumors going so that the Dolphins get nervous, because the Dolphins have three first-round picks this year. And then you go to the Dolphins and say, hey, I've got this offer from the Bucks, and I've got this offer from the Chargers, and I'm going to take it, and you're not going to get your quarterback unless we swap firsts, the second and the third, and you give me one of your mid to late round first round picks. And then the Giants still end up with Chase Young, and they have another first round pick to use this year. Now, is Dave Gettleman smart enough to execute this? No. But that is the optimal draft scenario. What's most likely going to happen is they just stay put because, again, it's popcorn, a hot pretzel, and a hot dog. And Dave Gettleman will just take Chase Young and all will be well. But if you're talking about maximizing your draft day value, you try to swap with the Dolphins in some capacity. Even if it's not one of their firsts, you try to get their second because it's going to be a high second and you just gave away your fucking high third in the Leonard Williams trade. So that's my optimal draft day scenario. But it's looking more and more likely that it's going to be Chase Young. If they could somehow end up with Chase Young and then, you know, get another first from the Dolphins and package that with their second and move up and also take Andrew Thomas, and then they have two cornerstones on both lines. I mean, now I'm just getting into fantasy land, but I felt the need to clarify my statements yesterday.
Well, I think you got to look at it. Right now, the Redskins, the biggest threat to the Giants when it comes to Chase Young are the Washington Redskins. Mm-hmm. They are the one team that they will not be – I don't think they'll be picking a quarterback. I don't know what they're going to do. They're an abomination.
But here's the thing. This is why it's the Redskins are not a Josh Rosen situation, is because Dwayne Haskins was a Dan Snyder pick.
Yeah.
So if you come in to coach this team, you have to be okay with Dwayne Haskins.
You have to be okay with a lot of things. One of them being Dwayne Haskins is going to be your quarterback and is going to miss victory formation because he's going to be taking selfies with the few fans.
I don't take too much issue with that. I think that was funny.
Listen, it's going to happen. That's going to happen. Dwayne Haskins has to make sure fans come to the game. How does he do that? I'm going to take a picture with you.
Marketing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You got to do what you got to do. Daniel Snyder. They're the biggest threat right now. And looking at their schedule, they got like the Panthers, and at the Packers, Eagles, and the Giants game, and the Cowboys. I don't think they're going to win another game. They could probably go to Carolina this weekend and win, but I'm not picking them. But I'm just saying that's probably that, or the game against the Giants is the most likely scenario where they're going to win another game. Miami, I think, is also a team that's going to – Miami's going to get one more game looking at their schedule. I think they still got – let me pull up their schedule. They got the Eagles loss at the Jets. I think they're going to lose. And then the Giants and the Bengals in week 16 at home. So that could be a game that they could win. And if they beat the Giants the week before, big win for the Giants and the whole Chase Young thing. But I think Chase Young is he's a franchise changing, altering player. I mean, you look at him and, side note, I hate to sound like Mike Francesa, but I've known about the Chase Young phenomenon because he grew up in Hyattsville, Maryland, went to DeMatha High School, is one of the prominent high schools in the nationally now, but you know in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, it's a very prominent school for both basketball and football. So Chase Young's name has been like called, like it's people know who he is in this area, and I mean this dude is just. I haven't seen a player like that since Khalil Mack back in 2014. He will change.
I was going to say Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, but Clowney and Mack came out the same year. Yeah. But I think his impact is going to be more closer to Khalil Mack. And he's a franchise-altering player. He's a guy that just – it's you talk about premier player at a premier position – just the all-around perfect prospect, in my opinion. But there's going to – to me, again, it's going to go back to that two-week stretch where they play the Dolphins and they play the Redskins. Tank and after that, we'll know where we are in terms of Chase Young. But, yeah, that scenario works out well for the Giants. It's the one that San Francisco used.
Right.
Unfortunately, they picked Solomon Thomas, who didn't work out. But, yeah – something like that would work. If you're able to get an extra pick or two and get probably the best player in the draft, I mean, what more could you really ask for the Giants?
Exactly.
But it's all going to matter where they're picking, who's making the pick, and yeah. Well, that'll answer a lot of the questions about what happens come April. But one thing I do fear about this whole situation is obviously they're going to make Daniel Jones, building around Daniel Jones, such a priority. And it makes me wonder if they will try and overvalue, and it's an, I hate to use this word, but they will take the offensive tackle ahead of Chase Young. There's still a part of me that believes that happened because they're so desperate to get the offensive line right for this rookie quarterback. I'm hoping it's not, but there is that chance.
What else you want to talk about before questions?
Saquon Barkley.
Okay. Well, I spoke about him last week.
You did, and you got a lot of pushback. That is a touchy subject for a lot of people.
Well, no. I tweeted about it, but
yeah.
I also talked to his inefficiencies last week. That was the main point that I was trying to make, is that if he is not breaking those 20, 30, 40-yard runs, he is a remarkably inefficient rusher. And if you look at the coaching and the offensive line, they're basically the same as last year. Because you look at the grades and the personnel, it's like, you know, the scale's even here, right? And people like to say, oh, he's not right. It's his injuries. But the Giants held him out longer than necessary on his high ankle sprain. And they were very careful with Sterling Shepard after a second concussion. They held him out for a few weeks. Listen, like, we criticize Pat Shurmur and the medical staff and the coaching staff all the time. If Saquon Barkley is actually, like, hurt to the point that it's hindering his play, they're holding him out. And I need to believe that they're holding him out. And if it comes out after the season that he's getting surgery on something or that he needs to do rehab for some sort of injury, then I will be the first to admit he was injured, and fuck everyone and fire everyone. But as it stands right now, he says he's healthy. The coaching staff says he's healthy. The offensive line is virtually the same grade-wise as last year. And main difference is that he's just not breaking these long runs because the fucking defense knows what he's about. They don't have to worry about him acting like Zeke and being a train and just taking those right up the middle, gaining 3 or 4 yards. It's just, hey, I'm going to stutter step and try to break one, and they know how to stop it.
Yeah. Can I just say, I was watching the game on my computer on Sunday Ticket, and there was a lag, and I was basically watching the game through your Twitter timeline.
Okay.
And there was a tweet you put out that said, I just want to fucking smack Pat Shurmur. and I have a screenshot of that tweet. It just made me laugh because I pictured you saying it, and I was just like, man, that was fun. With Saquon, it's he's struggling, and it's a combination of himself
yeah. and coaching. It's not just on him. The coaching is terrible.
Saquon Barkley last year does not drop that wheel route.
Yes,
he's still running right now, actually. Yeah. But he's missing holes, and I think with the injury, it's not necessarily that the injury is slowing him down. It's the mental part of it, because in your mind, you are thinking that I'm not fully there yet to make a move on that ankle that I can normally do. And it's impacting him because he's overthinking it a little bit. And listen, when you get a high ankle sprain like that, it's not necessarily mean that you're not, even when you get 100% or 90% or whatever percentage you want to put on it, where you're good enough to play, there's still that mental aspect of it. If you're overthinking things, again, it's a very fast game. You know, a normal 6-yard run for Saquon is probably a loss. But I hate the Giants for what they've done to Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley looks like a broken man. You know what Saquon Barkley looks like? Saquon Barkley, every time they show him on the sideline, he looks like somebody that knows that he is so fucked here.
Yeah.
Because he's like, they're going to run me into the ground. And then when it's ready for me, when it's time for me to get paid, they're going to use every reason in the book to not pay me. And I'm going to be fucked.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't believe this is happening to me. And I feel bad for him because we're seeing this year where this is the year that's going to be the evidence for the Giants why we're not going to make, we're not going to reset the running back market for you because.
I mean, they shouldn't do it anyway, but whatever.
That's, it's all a different topic, but this is going to be their calling card. And I think he's realizing that, and he's just like, son of a bitch. Because every time you see him on the sideline, he's up, he just doesn't, he looks mad, and he looks like he's like realizing, like, holy shit, this is happening right in front of my eyes. And I feel really bad for him. You know, I genuinely feel bad for Saquon Barkley. Yeah, the Giants have made, they, you are so bad that you turn Saquon Barkley into an ordinary man.
I got nothing.
It takes a special kind of suckiness to do that.
The incompetence is just next level. Anything else before questions?
No. That's a very depressing topic. Saquon Barkley is a very depressing topic right now.
How about Leonard Williams only playing 61% of the snaps last week?
Oh, can I? Please. I'm glad you brought that up.
You were on the Leonard Williams train.
Yeah. I want to formally apologize to you for my take on Leonard Williams.
It's okay. I accept.
And this is not an excuse, but the reason why I was so high on Leonard Williams and why I was so excited that he was here was because I was thinking about the Leonard Williams that I watched pre-draft at USC and was thinking, oh my God, this is good. We got that person. Mm-hmm. But no, we got the guy that's been invincible for the past 4 years. You talk about the silent stats. He's not even having those here.
Nope.
He's not having the Olivier Vernon game here.
Nope.
He's having the Jay Bromley game over here. Like, he's Jay Bromley right now. Like, he's not at Olivier Vernon right now. He is, and you can't even justify paying him.
No.
Like, I don't think it's going to be like an insane $90 million because I think teams are going to see this. Like, they're going to see this film.
Yeah.
But that's
what like pains me even more to an extent because I was so against the trade. And then if they do re-sign him, I think it's going to be like not at that $90 million that people were talking about a few weeks ago. It's going to be like, oh, here's like $40, $45 million for 4 years, whatever it is.
$10 million a year.
And people are going to be like, oh, but like that's still like, that's a good value contract. It's like, no, it doesn't matter. They gave up draft picks and he fucking sucks. Like,
yes.
That's all it boils down to. This is not rocket science.
Like, at this point, unless something changes over the course of the next 6 weeks, you cannot even pay this dude.
No.
Outside of like a 1 year deal where he comes in, it's like an incentive heavy deal.
Yeah.
How else can you pay this guy?
You can't. Dave like Gettleman just burned two draft picks.
Like, think about it. You traded a third round pick for him, and he's performed so poorly that you can't even give him a long term deal.
Nope.
That even though you gave that draft pick, you still.
I would rather than play an actual third round draft pick in BJ Hill.
Yes. That's another thing. Like, you traded a third-round pick for another defensive tackle and then cut the snaps of the defensive tackle you took in the third round the year before. That's why this whole bullshit philosophy, this plan, there's no fucking plan,
there's
man.
There's no plan.
Like, we are so fucked if this guy's continue here. Just think about it. He traded a third-round pick for a defensive tackle that has not panned out through, what, three games, I don't know how long he's been here. And because of trading a third-round pick for that player, who also is going to be a free agent at the end of the year, he's cut the snaps of the defensive tackle that he's taken the year before. So it's like, what are we doing?
Stupid.
And he's taken like five defensive tackles in the last two. He has had 12 draft picks, and he's taken like four defensive tackles.
It's so stupid.
Including a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and then I think he used, what was McIntosh, a fifth round pick and then a seventh on the defensive tackle from Syracuse.
It's so stupid.
Like, all that draft – I know, by the way, when he came here, they already had Dalvin Tomlinson and Snacks Harrison, which he traded Snacks away, whatever, but they had Dalvin Tomlinson here. And, oh, by the way, you can make a case that Dalvin Tomlinson is the team's best defensive tackle right now.
Yeah.
Like,
he's not even a Gettleman guy. Yeah.
And if there's one guy that deserves a contract extension, it's Dalvin Tomlinson. Yes. Like, he's been the better player. But holy shit. This, like, Leonard Williams, I apologize. I'm sorry. Like, this guy is – he's not even Olivier Vernon.
He's Garbaggio. All right, let's do some questions.
All right.
Who has hurt the Giants more, John Mara or DeSean Jackson? John Mara.
Yeah, John Mara. I like that question, though.
Yeah. A lot of this is just a lot of self-hate. Jake says, what do I do anymore? Alex says he was at the game in Chicago, spent the first three quarters laughing at how bad each team was. Unfortunately, the Giants are hysterically bad.
Well, that guy said, what do I do now? Yeah. I tell you what you do. You pick a secondary team, my man.
The Ravens, the Chiefs.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like your favorite Netflix show is like, you know, the season sucks and you're waiting for the next season to come. So you watch like a show while you wait for that next season to come.
Yeah.
Well, you just pick another team, like a secondary team. For me, it's the Ravens, man. Last night was like the best moment of my life this season. In terms of, like, seeing Lamar Jackson just completely run around. And like, did you see Aaron Donald's face?
Oh, my God.
Aaron Donald, he did not want to be on the field.
Wade Phillips' face, he was like, what the fuck do I do?
Sean McVay's face, he was just like – typically, like, when there's a big play that happens, you see the coach pull the microphone down, and he's talking with his microphone. Like, Sean McVay was, like, dead silence.
Yep.
Like, if you're listening in his microphone, like, I bet you nobody was saying anything.
Nope.
Like, they were just watching Lamar Jackson run around and the Ravens eat, you know, the Rams fans' food, which was an amazing video that I saw online today. But, yeah, that's what you do the rest of the season.
Yeah. Gav, who are ideal candidates for GM, head coach, defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, and final win-loss prediction? I say they finish 3 wins. Gave my GM, gave my head coach. I don't know enough about the coordinators to talk to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think GM, I mean, I don't even know. I mean, you got me intrigued with this dude from Indianapolis. I've always been a Nick Caserio fan, but
I'm a fan too. I'm just saying, like, guys, you know.
I think Caserio's, like, if you're someone that, I know there's a lot of people that are like this, like, if you're a fan of acquiring more picks and always trading down, Nick Caserio's your guy because he comes from New England.
Right.
But I just think he's destined for Houston. I think there's already a handshake agreement there that he's going to be the GM of the Houston Texans.
Does the season ever get bad enough for Gettleman to stop being a coward and hold a press conference? No.
Yeah, that's terrible. We used to get on Jerry Reese because he didn't talk to the media.
Yeah.
Jerry talked more than this guy.
Yes.
This guy just doesn't talk at all. It's insane. His approach that he has taken with, like, he didn't talk after the Leonard Williams trade.
Nope.
He hasn't talked during the bye week. He didn't talk when the team benched Eli Manning. Like, all these decisions that have been made this year that completely contradict everything he said in the offseason, and he's just been silent.
Yep.
Why? Because that's not your policy? Man, fuck your policy. And you know, like, it's ridiculous, man. Like, it's so stupid. The way that fans just give him a pass. What do you want him to say? I want him to answer for these fucking problems with this organization.
Yep.
Why is it that everything he said in the offseason has not the exact opposite has happened?
Correct.
Like, let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your 2018 class. Who hasn't improved from that class? Give me one name.
Not a single.
And don't say Saquon Barkley, because Saquon Barkley is not himself.
He's regressed.
And don't say Will Hernandez, because I was being nice the other day when I said he is marginally improved. He is not improved. He still looks like the rookie.
Jim is talking about David Mayo, second highest ranked Pro Football Focus player behind Aaron Donald. He's throwing out Chaz Stewart from UNC, Corey Littleton, Shaq Thompson, free agency. I'd be a fan of Shaq Thompson, but
can I give my dream
scenario? They got to get Alec Ogletree the fuck out of here. Yeah, go ahead.
My dream scenario for the Giants. You ready for it? You go out and get Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah, of course.
That's the guy you pay big money to. He's your number one target.
Yep.
And then you also draft Chase Young.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And you got Ngakoue, Chase Young, and inside.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Yannick Ngakoue, yeah.
Yannick
He's from Maryland, too.
Okay.
You got a Maryland Terp, and you got a guy that went to DeMatha High School.
Okay.
The only one that's missing is me. Then you get me in there, we're good to go.
Play some defensive tackle.
There you go.
All right, that'll do. Hold on. Twitter just quit out on me. Let's see. What can I do here? So that was Jim, and then Logan, what are y'all's top options for the draft? I mean, Chase Young, Andrew Thomas, those are the top two. Yeah, and that's going to be the range the Giants are picking in. So get me that franchise left tackle, get me the franchise pass rusher. Someone asked, can you give me one valid reason to continue to watch the Giants this year? I cannot. Maybe Daniel Jones improvement, but that's literally it. From Bruce, should the Giants move on from Rosas?
Ooh, this is you. I don't think you can move. He was an All Pro last year.
I think you need to move on from Zach Dossi.
Hell yeah, he's been a Giant longer than I've been alive.
Yeah,
he's been there forever. It's insane.
Yeah, I move. I give him another year, and I move on from Dossi.
Here's what I do. I bring in a veteran in the offseason, and you have a competition, and then you decide from there. But I don't think he can move on. He's an all-pro. I don't know how he's gone from being an all-pro kicker to, like you talk about a fall from grace.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Aldrick Rojas.
It's not been a good year for him.
No. He was the Giants' best player last year.
Which is sad, but true.
Yeah. Like he was their best player.
Yeah.
Him and Barkley.
Are they going to cut Solder after this year? That's from Rohan.
No, they can't because they restructured the contract. Plus, I mean, they really could, don't.
But they'd be eating like $13 million in dead money or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, and then they will have like Soldier would. He's not an answer, but getting rid of him creates a bigger question.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Man, this, I don't know. The free agency moves, draft talk.
Everybody's ready, man. Everyone's ready.
How much bleach do we drink when they fire Shermer and hire Garrett?
If they hire Jason Garrett, I don't know what I will do.
I might need to hold a press conference of my own.
Yeah. I mean, I can't. I mean,
that's going to be bad.
That's why I think this is pushed by Jason Garrett. I know the Giants, they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt.
It's the leaks, man. It's the Giants' leaks. Like, I just.
But the thing is, Jason Garrett, like, he sees the writing on the wall. Like, he's done a lot of weird shit. Like, a lot of shit's been leaked about stuff he's done with the Cowboys. Like, he held a meeting where he apologized to the team and, like, all this crap. And you just know that was leaked from Garrett's camp to try to, like, sell himself. And I think that's part of the reason why Jerry Jones has been so publicly harsh on Jason Garrett is because
tired of his
he's like, these leaks he knows are coming from Jason Garrett's camp to try to sell himself as being like this good coach when he's really not. And Sunday, 10 a.m. Oh yeah, guess what, guys? Jason Garrett. Yeah, he'll definitely be, you know, a top priority for the Giants if the Cowboys don't retain him. Like, I just think that's pushed by Garrett's people, and that's why part of me is hopes it, but I don't see how Jason Garrett. Matt Rhule, I totally get that love affair, but Jason Garrett, really? It doesn't make sense.
But, I mean, I can see why it's happening.
So yeah.
That's it. Should we wrap up?
Yes, we should.
All right, let's do it. I got to eat some dinner and be miserable about the Giants.
So the Giants are going to lose Sunday to Green Bay, right?
Absolutely, not even a question.
Does Green Bay score more than 40 points on the Giants?
Oof. It's going to be I'll say the 30s. It's going to be in the 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a perfect score for you. 33-14 Green Bay.
Okay. All right. I will make sure to bet the over then. All right.
Oh, don't talk about betting with me, man.
I know.
I still haven't gotten. You've made me stop. Like, I've stopped.
I did. You'd be a few $1,000 richer right now if it wasn't for me.
I cashed out. I did get a nice check from DraftKings the other day.
There you go.
Came in the mail.
Are you using checks? You're getting checks? You're not doing the direct deposit?
No, but some weird shit. Like, I had trouble with it. The app was being whacked. So I was like, just send me a fucking check.
All right.
Yeah, I don't care.
All right. Let's wrap it up. Subscribe. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, 5 stars, kind review. Follow us on Twitter, @EthanGSN, @NYGDaily, @GothamSN. We'll talk to you guys after the Giants lose to the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, we will. Peace.